Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Let's Talk About It. This is your host, Carol Ann Thornton, otherwise known as Kat. We have a great show tonight. We're going to talk about, has TV gone too far? So for decades, Black women have fought for roles in entertainment. But how would our four sisters and our four mothers feel about the roles that Black women play in entertainment today, especially the roles in TV and how we're portrayed in music? So that's our conversation. Sit back, relax, and let's talk about it. Well, we have a lot of new TV shows that are on the air, some really great shows. And with those shows, we have some terrific roles for Black women. We have shows like Scandal. We have shows like How to Get Away with Murder and so many other TV shows. With these shows, we have very strong Black female lead characters, which is a far cry from where we were quite a while ago. We used to have to fight for such roles. But with that, what is the underlying message? Because what I'm seeing is we have these strong female characters who are severely flawed as compared to their counterparts of other races. So what I want to talk about tonight is how we're seen, how we're perceived by other people, and what can we do about it to change such negative characters in entertainment. I want to welcome Lee to the line. Hey, Lee, what's going on? Lee, you there? All right, he'll join us in just a moment. Hey, Chris.
Hey there.
Are you there? How's it going?
I'm here. I'm good.
How are you? Good, good, good. Want to talk about a lot of the roles. We have How to Get Away with Murder. You have Elise Keating, who is the main character. Strong, articulate, powerful Black woman. She's a very powerful attorney. She's a prestigious professor who teaches law. But as we get into her character, we notice some character flaws. Not as prevalent in the first season as it is in the second season. In the first season, she revealed some of her strengths as well as the weaknesses that we all have. She revealed who she really is, that there's flaws in her personality, that she had some struggles growing up, that she comes from a flawed marriage. And she gives one look, but at home, she stripped down, took off the makeup, took off the wig, and got down to the essence of who she really was. That really endeared me to her character, flaws and all, right? But then we get into the second season, and during the second season, straight out the bat, we find a whole lot of questionable characteristics with this once very strong character. Yes, she's still an attorney. She's still a professor. She's still very powerful. But now we bring to the forefront her manipulative side. We bring to the forefront that she uses sex to manipulate people, both male and female. She is extremely mean-spirited, and you question, you know, wow, what kind of person is she? And it makes you feel sorry for everyone that she comes into contact with. Now let's flip over to another mega hit that we have on TV right now, and that would be Empire. One of the main characters, one of the most loved characters on this show would be Cookie Lyons. Cookie Lyons is a straight talk, tell it like it is, take no prisoners type of woman who holds her family dearest to her. She's like a pit bull if anybody comes against her family. We see just a glimpse of a soft side of Cookie, but mostly we see a lot of rough edges. We're talking a woman who had to fight and had to struggle just to make it through life, and who ends up spending 17 years in prison in order to protect her family and from a drug charge. Now she comes back, she's trying to get her family back, and she's trying to get the company that she once helped start. The negative side of Cookie that I see is portraying her as someone willing to do anything to get her way. And the same can be said with another female on there, and we refer to her as Boo Boo Kitty. Boo Boo Kitty comes from a totally different background as Cookie. Boo Boo Kitty's background is one where she had some luxuries. She was afforded things that Cookie never could have imagined. She came from a household where her father was a doctor. She has great education. But yet, she too has a very ruthless side. We can't get on this subject without talking about Scandal. And here we have one of the most powerful women in Washington. She has the ear of everybody. She's the fix-it person for the nation. She makes known what needs to be known. She keeps silent with it. And she makes certain unpleasant situations go away. She's beautiful, dressed to the nines, articulate, resourceful. Yet, her major character flaw is she's having an affair with the President of the United States. I can go down the laundry list of shows and what's going on in TV. When we have things like Love and Hip Hop, Basketball Wives, Married to Medicine, Survivor's Remorse, of course, The Real Housewives, Being Mary Jane, Cutting It in the ATL, and the list goes on and on. Do we have more black women in television? Do we have more black women in film? Do we have more black women in entertainment overall than we had 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago? Absolutely we do. But to make that transition to be accepted, do we have to accept roles that paint us in a negative light? I guess the real question is, have we become a group of people willing to do anything for money? Are we willing to do anything just to be seen? Based on what I've seen, that answer looks like it's a solid yes. So I go back to my original question is, how would those who fought so hard to get to where women of today are, how would they feel about it? I don't think the word I could use would be pride. I think it's more of an embarrassment. I think it's shameful what we have learned to accept as every day. I think that the only way to make changes in what we see is to be the change that we want to see happen. We have to stop supporting the shows and the programs that are degrading to us. How can you call it entertainment if it's making people that look like us look like fools? Chris, jump in here. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, you have a lot of shows where, right, that the women look like not good. I think that there are still some other shows where they don't, and they're far, you know, few and far between. I can say that, but I think that it doesn't help that, you're right, you know, some of these ladies are taking roles where it's kind of questionable, you know, that being said, in some roles, how much different would it look like if How to Get Away with Murder was played by an Asian woman? How different would it look if it was played by a white woman? You know,
mm-hmm.
You kind of, and I see where some of these are just bringing us back. I mean, not to be like that, but how many women do you know are named Cookie? And there's only one Honey Boo Boo out there. Now, you know, you don't see that very often, but can we say that is bringing us down? Can we say the way she's acting is bringing us down? You know, are these roles not given to other people for what reason? You know what I mean? I agree with you 100%, but I do think that not all the shows can be categorized like that. I've watched the show Mistresses, and they have literally one of every race in there just about. Woman, the African-American black woman, however you want to call it, who's in that show, isn't just some two-bit this, that, and the other. I mean, she's what I feel is typical for just about all races. She's a full mom. In this case, she's actually a shop owner. And with her story in the first season, you know, you learn her husband, who was dead, was doing something with drugs. The FBI was after him. Now, is that like everyone in the world? No. But it's not bad entertainment. She still takes care of her family. She still takes care of her business. Still has time for her friends. She's not running off with some married man or anything else questionable. But, you know, her struggle for the first season deciding not only is how she going to deal with her husband coming back, he's been alive for like 6 years away from the family, started his own family somewhere else, but how is she going to tell this to her daughter? I mean, that feels like a very entertaining but real kind of situation that someone would sit down and watch and not say, okay, well, she's bringing back the entire race. You know? You look at another strong woman is Michonne from The Walking Dead. She starts in the season, like everyone, you know, here's zombies, oh my, here's your entertainment. But she starts as a loner, and she finds one of the other cast members for the full season. She and her just trying to get on a regular human level. And once she comes back, now she's like, you know, one of the leaders in the group. And she's fierce about her family, protecting everyone who's left becomes her family. I don't see her, even when they tell her backstory, again, actually her backstory makes her look like a typical strong woman. Not someone you'd mm-hmm. make fun of or poke an eye at, you know. I don't feel like, again, I don't feel like her story, if you changed it with any other race, would change too much. I mean, there are some things where it's like, okay, yeah, you can definitely tell this was written for someone who is black, but I don't think that would change terribly too much, you know, who she has portrayed in her show. But I do agree with you. There's just a lot. But that being said, there is quite a few of all races, and I feel bad in saying that, but there is quite a few in all, and you feel bad because even, you know, the Asians aren't really seen that much on TV. Again, they're still fighting their fight with the, you know, are they a joke? Are they even, you know, on? And do they get any lines when they're on? I feel bad for that. So I think that we've come a long way. I think you're right. You have a ways to go. But, you know, even Jennifer Lawrence said, you know, she's still getting less than her counterpart, and accepted it. And maybe in that sense, just thinking about it, maybe she's right in what's the problem with, you know, maybe just women. You say women of color, you say black women, you say Asian women, you say whatever. Maybe they just accepted it. Okay, we got a little bit. Let's just stop here. We got on shows. We got on TV. We can stop and be happy about that. And maybe what a woman, period, has said is that maybe women are just accepting it and it's okay. We're accepting that this is the role that black women are allowed to play, and that's okay. And no one's standing up saying, no, we need more. Turn it just a little bit, slightly off topic. There was a whole thing about Serena Williams and how she doesn't get paid as much as Anna Kournikova because she's not, you know, the blonde pretty girl. And instead, you know, are we talking about apples and oranges? Maybe, maybe not. But Anna Kournikova is ranked in the 20s, so she's not some slouch, but she's ranked in the 20s, and Venus has been number one for how long? So
mm-hmm.
say that your number one world player for about 3 years running shouldn't get as many endorsements as the 14th, 23rd ranked player is kind of crazy. And, you know, does she sit there and start harping on her and yelling about it? No. She goes out and she proves why she's the number one player. As many people have said,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've got tennis here and there. As many people have said, whenever it's Kornikova versus, you know, Serena, that's the match to watch. Serena wakes up early for that match. She trains early for that match. It's also been said that, you know, Anna does the same thing. They don't like each other. They have the same boyfriend. I mean, it's just one of these things where you're going to say, okay, well, here's this girl. Maybe she's more appealing to the masses because she's blonde or whatnot. But if you put in the hard work, you shouldn't have to settle. And I would look to her for that. Serena did not settle. She put in the hard work. She became first. And whenever she has to face this woman, you know, she gets up early and makes a point. And I think that's going to be part of her legacy. I think that maybe we should look at that. We don't settle. You know, women get up. They say, hey, listen, this is a great part. Thanks for the opportunity. But I need something that has more substance. I need something that doesn't put me in the same pitfall as everyone else. And don't settle.
Mm-hmm. And you bring up a very good point because, yes, there are a lot of programs out there where the women of color are playing very good roles, very strong roles. But the attention seems to go to the TV programs, and it's more in TV than in film. Because in doing the research for this, I found that when you look at a lot of the major films that are out, and you do see more and more women of color in major films, but they have more roles that give some substance. And their roles are more realistic than what we're seeing on television. So I guess my real question is, does television continue, and actually I have an answer to that, does television continue to push the boundaries because we want them to, or does television continue to push the boundaries because we accept what's given to us? We're not pushing back. You know, oh, we need to stand up and say, this is not who we are. This does not represent us. Therefore, this should not be labeled as, quote, unquote, entertainment. On the Serena Williams thing, you know, Serena Williams is a perfect example of how to fight back with dignity. She doesn't have to compete with Anna other than on the court. She doesn't have to compete for that media attention. She doesn't have to compete for the sponsorship and so forth. And it angered me this summer when I hear all these comments and I see posts on Facebook about, you know, Serena looks like a man. Dude, she's not attractive. She's not this one. She's very beautiful. She has a killer body. You know, who is to say that there is just one standard when it comes to beauty? And we're going to save that topic for a whole nother show, but she handles it by not feeding into the comparison. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm with you.
So that was just my thought on that, but you had something you were about to say.
Oh. it fell that quickly. It just rolled right out.
Okay. Okay. So then there's the other side, because we are talking about entertainment. We're not just talking about television. Then there's music. And let's just be real. When it comes to music, music is such a vast field. There is no one genre of music. There's no one demographic. But when we're talking about especially urban music, the images that we see when it comes to women, the way that we refer to women, you know, the men, especially in the hip-hop world, the way we refer to women is just downright disrespectful. There's no other way to put it. It's disrespectful. You know, and I don't know what it's going to take for us to get beyond the place where the only way to make yourself look better, feel powerful is by degrading someone else. These images, and not only the images, you know, not just the images of the women, when you look at a lot of the guys, you know, whether they are rap artists and, you know, just a number of things. When you look at the guys and you look at them, you know, you look like circus clowns. Where is the class? What happened? What happened to us to make us feel like it's okay to portray these images? Who said that this is what people want to see? You know, I talk to the boys all the time about, you know, we don't wear sagging pants. We don't, you know, there are certain things we don't do. I talk to them about how to carry themselves in public. But, you know, they listen to the music, they watch the videos, they see the TV shows, and, you know, these are the people that they're fascinated with. And how do we overcome such negative images? When do we stand up and say, you know what, this is not right. This is not how we carry ourselves. This is not how we present ourselves. I'm all about individuality, but we have to have some sense of decorum at some point. And we do have another caller. Is that Denise?
That's me.
Hey, girlie.
Hey, what's up?
Well, we're talking about entertainment, and really, have we gone too far?
In some instances, it has. They got it to the point where it's like almost anything goes, like you were saying, if any. Okay, especially to degrading women, calling, you know, the B and hoes, and I'm like, and it's gotten to the point where it is accepted. However, it's like the ladies of today think it's cute, and it's to me,
mm-hmm.
it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like we need to begin to change it. But with it so rampant now, how do you begin a change?
I think we begin to change it by doing what we're doing right now, in talking about it, in being vocal and saying, this is not acceptable. This is not entertainment. This is not who we are, and this is not how we want to be portrayed. You're right. The younger generation, we have to constantly remember, the next generation is looking at us. And when you have young girls that this is what they see their moms trying to replicate, when this is what they see the fathers and the big brothers and the men in their life, this is what they are saying is beautiful, then that's what I need to emulate. Right?
Mm-hmm.
When we were growing up, we had, our role models were Diane Carroll, Patti LaBelle, Diana Ross, you know, Foxy Brown. we had women that, wow, that's what I want to be, you know. I want to be Cleopatra Jones, you know, things like that. We have women, and they're doing the same thing, only the people that they're looking up to, totally different. When you have little girls that are watching their moms and their big sisters and their aunties watching things like Basketball Wives, Real Housewives of Atlanta, and shows like this, and they see how these women behave. And at the same time, they see these women live in big fancy houses, how they dress, how, you know, the cars they drive. In their minds, they're thinking, oh, if I want that lifestyle, this is how I have to be. But that's not it. That's far from it. And you have so many people who will say, well, it's just entertainment. Okay, you have those who understand that it is just entertainment, but you do have a large sector of public that this is what they imitate. They think that this is real life.
Yeah.
They don't understand that reality shows are not real. Go ahead, Chris.
If I can jump in real quick. I was going to say, you know, a lot of these people, the younger generation, they don't have, you know, I feel old saying this, but they don't have the same kind of speed that it used to be 10 and 15 years ago. You know, now it is what it is. So, in some regard, if you want them to see something that's better, and they're watching The Real Housewives of Atlanta, you know, can we say that's horrible when you have The Real Housewives of Orange County, California, or Florida? You know, it seems to be, you know, there's not much to look up to. And that actually says something, too, if I may go on a slight tangent. But to have really only black women seen, and I think the one was even Asian, seen on Real Housewives of Atlanta, and not the other 15 other Real Housewives of Name Your City, says a lot. You know, are we only in Atlanta? Is that the only city we can live in? Or, you know, they get D.C. for 1 year, and Real Housewives of Washington, D.C. had one of every color, and that was awful. Like, it's hard to tell kids to look up to something and to be something if they don't have the role model there for us to actually point to. It's hard to say maybe we need some laws and someone to stand up and say, hey, this isn't right. They did that with basketball. You know, Commissioner Stern said this isn't right the way you're dressing after the game. They need to clean it up, and he forced it. Yeah, people cried, but it happened.
And you're so true, because when you look at the Real Housewives franchise, and you look at the Real Housewives of Orange County, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, the Real Housewives of New York, why don't they have women of color on any of those shows? You certainly have women of color in all of those cities. There's not just, you know, Atlanta's not the only place that you have Real Housewives. So that is a very good question. Why don't you have women of color on any of those shows? And to be honest with you, the whole Real Housewives franchise does show that women with money behaving badly is not something that only applies to women of color. You know, it's reality TV as a whole paints this horrible, and I can't say they paint this horrible picture of our society. Maybe they peel back the curtain so that you can see just how ignorant we have become. You know, we get excited about the wrong things. We're chasing after the wrong things, the things that should matter to us. don't. And I know this is getting off topic a little bit, but I can bring it back. There is a show, and I believe you would have to go on demand. I don't remember what channel it was on. Richard Gere did a show called, it was a movie called Time Out of Mind. And in this film, he lived on the streets as a homeless person. And he even says in talking about it that as well-known as Richard Gere is, people did not know who he was. All they saw was a homeless man. You know, he was called names. He was told to get out of here, you know. He was treated miserably. But in filming this and in following homeless people in New York City, he saw a whole different side to humanity. One, you saw people who are so tied up in their day-to-day and chasing their version of the American dream that they have lost all compassion for anyone else who they believe or perceive as lesser than them, right? But at the same time, when he's on the streets and he's in these homeless shelters, the homeless people who have absolutely nothing for themselves were willing to take someone who knew nothing about living on the street, show him how to get into the shelters, show him how to, you know, go after different resources, would share. If, you know, one guy, someone gave him a sandwich, and he hadn't eaten in days, and he took half that sandwich and gave it to Richard Gere. So here are people who have absolutely nothing, who really have no clue if or when their next meal is coming from, but they're willing to share what they do have with the next person. Yet people who live in abundance and excess feel that you are invading their space just by being. So these things, you know, I tie that back into our topic because have we gone too far? When we look at television, when we look at movies, when we listen to music, we're letting our guard down as far as what is and what is not acceptable in society. It's like when you're a kid and your mom won't let you watch certain scary movies because they don't want you to become acclimated to the violence. They don't want you to become acclimated to blood. They don't want you to become acclimated to certain language. So they limit what it is that you see and hear, right? But then as we get older, we take it upon ourselves to, hey, I can handle this. I'm ready for this. And initially when we watch something that we're not accustomed to, there's this shock. And there's this disbelief. But the more we watch it, there's less shock, there's less disbelief, and it starts to become normal. Same thing with kids and video games. Before, we wouldn't let our kids play violent video games.
Right.
Now, it's commonplace to them. And they have become immune to the blood, the violence, the language, the sex that they're seeing because it's just a game, right? Well, all of that transfers into real life and how we tend to see each other. We tend to see something wrong, and it's no longer wrong to us because we've allowed that to get into our psyche and into our spirit. And it becomes acceptable. So when I talk about has TV gone too far? Has entertainment gone too far? Absolutely it has, because it has made us numb to the difference between right and wrong. It has made us numb to what is acceptable and what is not. We are becoming more and more complacent in standing up and saying, hey, that's not right. You can't do this. I won't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, things that we never would have considered before, oh, that's not so bad. You know, I'm expanding my horizons. I'm broadening my experiences. Now, you're lying to yourself in order to accept what should be unacceptable.
That is so true. You get the nail on the head. It's easy to comfort. I mean, it's what's selling. Everybody now is just pushing what's selling. Doing the wrong thing
right,
is selling. Sex is selling. You need to make money.
It's
money,
all
money
about making money. Yeah, it's all about making money. You know, I hear so many people complain about the Kardashians. Oh, the Kardashians, this and they're no good and they're this. But the Kardashians are a product of what we have grown to accept.
Right.
You created them through reality TV, through social media. We created them. So why get mad at them for cashing in on the thing that we created?
Hmm.
I can't be mad at them.
Great point. I mean, you can pay me a few million dollars
them.
And follow me around.
Right.
So, yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you want to pay me a few million dollars to watch you walk around and do nothing, I'll take your money too.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's really what it is. And then, on top of that, you have designers and all these merchandisers like, hey, do you know how many people watch them walk around? Let's make sure that they're wearing our clothes. Let's make sure that they're wearing our shoes. Let's make sure that they're wearing our jewelry. Let's make sure that they're carrying our handbag. Let's make sure that they're coming to our establishments. We want to cash in on them being seen.
At the same time, though, you can't get mad at them if that's what people want to see. I mean, there's many shows that were canceled because that's what they wanted to see. You know?
Exactly.
And I'm not saying, you know, let's all start out, let's all go watching and buy their DVDs or anything. You know, they're business women. It's a business. If the business says, hey, they want you to do this, and that's where the money is, you'd be a fool if it was anything else. If it was a regular business and it was like, hey, this entire business, people want you to put teddy bears on the side and go from white walls to black. Well, if that's where the money has been, then you do it. That's all there is to it. But I think the problem is that we're so willing to say that's not right, but no one's willing to step up and say, well, then we're going to stop it. Well, then we're going to change.
Exactly.
And that's what I was alluding to earlier with you know, the David Stern. He took how much heat for that? You know, the ball players doing this and the other, and he said, no, this is not right. We're going to change. And it did. And here we are a few years later, and now the athletes have figured out, okay, well, if I'm forced to do X, I'm going to make money off of it. How long did we
mm-hmm.
talk about Wayne Wade's flower get-up? You know, it's still a topic because he has to wear a suit. He wears that. Now this designer's getting money and people will ask him for more. How many times
mm-hmm.
have we seen Oklahoma City gentlemen wearing those big rimmed glasses and now everyone's going out to buy them? You know, if people are willing to change, fine. let's not cry about it and follow the lead. Change and then try and make money off of that change. Change to try and show that it's not stupid, it's actually good or can become good and can become acceptable and then become the norm. How long have they, well, there was a movie about it, if I remember correctly, about the women runners and how they were, for the longest time, the only ones who were expected to run a race as hard as they did, and 14 seconds later, which is about the same time as the race, stand in front of a camera crew and talk about what just happened. For the men, for how long we're able to stop, catch breath, and it's okay, let's look at the race again. Here these ladies are, they just ran, they can't even suck in the wind. They're supposed to stand up straight and give a speech about how they did and how their competitors did. You know, people are saying it's not right, it needs to change, and it changed. You know, just throwing that out there.
And then, we, not only do we live in a monkey-see-monkey-do society, we live in a copycat society. Oh, they made money off of this? Let me try it. You know, Kim Kardashian's claim to fame was a sex tape with RJ, with Ray J, right? So, next thing you know, Paris Hilton has a sex tape. Tara Reid has a sex tape. Everybody got a sex tape. This
anybody on that field has a sex tape. People have been doing that for years, but because in the entertainment world, it's such a big thing, you know, that's like, it's okay. It's like, that's the greatest invention ever. No, it's not. But they put that out there to try to show people, oh, this is who you, this person really is. I don't get it. You know,
well,
why
no.
They have
a lot
to do
of them,
certain things like that.
A lot of them leak their own sex tapes. Because you have certain companies that will pay them big money for them. And if they have a quote-unquote scandal, that's a way to keep them relevant.
Yeah.
And
the
next project that comes along, you're going to have to pay me more. People will want to see me because my name is attached to this scandal, right?
Right.
If you notice now, with the use of social media, everybody has a freaking video. Everybody's got a video. YouTube is saturated with videos. Some things, okay, you know, they're cute. Kids dancing, the cute things that kids say, unexpected things that they do. Some things are very informative. You have a lot of informational videos out there. You have a lot of how-to videos out there. You have a lot of cooking videos, you know, crafting videos.
Uh-huh.
And that's some really great stuff. That is some fantastic stuff. But then you have people who will film anything to try to get that quote-unquote viral video, right?
Right.
So you have to be careful what you do because it's like cameras are always watching. So when you have people who are posting videos of somebody in the gym, maybe who's just getting started going to the gym, not familiar with the equipment and things like that. So you post videos to embarrass them. You post videos of people falling or someone having an accident or this and that. Before we even check to see if somebody is okay, do you need medical attention, do you need help, you're whipping out the video. You know, we our society is freaking nuts. Common sense doesn't exist here anymore. And when you try to inject some common sense into a situation, they look at you like you're a Martian or something. I'll never forget, my son was like 9 or 10 years old, I don't know. And there was a situation with some kids from school. My son was not, my son was always academic. He was not the athletic type at all. He loved learning, right? I don't care what the subject is. He just loved learning something new. So there was a situation with one of the kids at school. I had a conversation with the mother. The mother said, well, maybe you should get him out more, get him involved in sports and academics and, you know, not in academics, in sports and things like that, because my son's going to go to the NFL. My son did. And I said, and my son will own the contract that your son will be working under. You know, so I'm talking to my son about it because I wanted to see, how do you feel? I never wanted my kids to feel different. I never wanted my kids to feel picked on. I'm super, super, super protective of my children. And I'm talking to my son. I want to see how he feels. And he just looks at me so nonchalantly, and he says, Mom, some people are cattle and others are sheep. And I'm like, okay. And what does that mean? And he says, a sheep will follow anywhere the first sheep goes. But a cow is okay to stand in the pasture all alone. And I'm like, wow. You know, so what he was telling me is he's quite fine doing what he wants to do, how and when he wants to do it. He, at such a young age, he was secure in who he was. He didn't have to follow the crowd, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had no desire. He had no need. But he was also okay if other people were more comfortable being sheep.
Because it's easier to follow the leader than dare to be your own leader. Go out there on, you know, just go out there and be different. Nobody wants to be different. Everybody wants to be the same. Everybody wants to blend in, which is easier.
Absolutely.
Don't get criticism. You know?
Absolutely.
They don't want to get questions. Why are you doing that? Everybody over here doing that? Well, I'm not everybody. I don't want to do that. And when we take ownership of who we are and what we want to be, you know, we can move forward. But until that happens, everybody's going to be following the leader. And then that question
gets
asked.
How can you ever get to understand who you are if you're continually trying to be someone else?
So we have to
take
a moment.
Even with us, as women.
Right.
How do we get to be who we are, who we were designed to be, appreciate ourselves if we're constantly trying to emulate someone else? You know, we're trying to force our bodies to look like this person over here. We're trying to force our hair to be like this person over here. Have you ever noticed, if you look at a lot of the shows, if you listen to the music, if you listen to interviews, if you watch videos, a lot of the younger women today, especially women on the West Coast, they talk the same way, like they're talking through their nose or whatever. And it's like, are you for real? You know, can you have your real voice? Everything is like, you know, like, that is so awful. You know, every time I hear that, it's like I want to throw a ping pong ball or something. Like, shut up.
Well, they're like that because they don't eat carbs. You need carbs to have a real voice, and they're afraid of them. They won't touch them. People don't eat. They ate real food, and they'd be fine.
They right. need something because there is a missing gene. There's a missing gene. There's a gene that's stuck in the off position. It's something, but you know, it's a matter of trying to be something that you're not.
Right.
You have.
Right. But the thing in their mind is that they think people really, really care.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you be like, I really could care less. You're doing all this to try to impress everybody, sweetheart. Uh-uh. You need to do it because of you. And until that happens, they're going to keep doing the same thing. You know?
It's nuts. It's absolutely, totally nuts. And this is why we have so much depression. So many people, you know, now mind you, let me throw a plug in here.
Okay.
I am a life coach. I am a relationship expert. I am a career expert. So I'm not against therapy whatsoever. But we have so many people in therapy because they don't know how to be who they were designed to be. You can only play the chameleon role for so long before you realize, I don't remember who I am.
All right.
Just
stop. Gotten lost.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody there to tell them or try to help them understand or give some type of guidance that really is not your mold to fit. You're not supposed to fit that mold. You have all different molds. The job, that's a long job. So, you know, it's hard. Eventually somebody will listen, but it takes them a minute to get it, because some things that I've said to some of the young ladies that I've you know, from my church that we've talked when we go out and what have you, it's like, now they get it. And I was like, ooh, all that talking and demonstrating and spending time together, I said, y'all got it. I said, y'all got it. They're going to be all right. So you have to put that out there. They'll absorb it. But at some point in time, all of that stuff will surface. So it's like you got to feed that plant in the ground. And when it starts to, when it gets ready to grow, when it's growing, when it stops, pops up, that little sprout or leaf or whatever pops up, that stuff will start coming back to them. And they're like, oh, I remember when she said such and such. Oh, let me do such and such. She said do such. And they get it. It's like, ah. And when that happens, I get so excited. I was like, y'all get it. I said, y'all put us through hell, use my expression, but now you get it. You see what we're talking about, and you see where we're coming from. But a lot of them don't get it. We like, when we say we've been there, done that, trust, we've been there, done that. We're just trying to keep you from having the same mistake. But at the same time, I understand you have to make your mistakes in order to understand what you need to correct or what you need that's going to make you grow into the better person, to the person you're supposed to be.
And maybe we need to look at it as not referring to them as mistakes, but instead referring to them as the wrong decision for the time, or the wrong decision for me. That wasn't the right decision for me, but it gave me the opportunity to find the right way. Every mistake that we take is a learning experience. That's what it was designed to be. We are going to misstep along the way, but that's how you differentiate yourself from one another. That's how you figure out what works for you and what does not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with my own daughter, she would ask me about different stages of life and different things. And I'm very clear to tell her, I can tell you from my experience what has and what has not worked for me. But you have to figure out what does and what does not work for you, because something that didn't work for me may be perfect for you.
Right.
You know, or maybe you just need to modify it. But the only way to really know and to really grow is to get out there and try. Don't be afraid to try. And that's another thing I was thinking about today. We tend to pass our fears on to our children.
True.
I look at so many people. You know, I've been around animals since before I could walk. And I look at so many people who, all they, if they see a dog, and I mean, it could be a chihuahua, they're freaking out. You would think King Kong just dropped in front of them, right? They're
right.
freaking out. I talked to a female who, she'll damn near jump out of her skin if she sees a cat. And like, where did these fears come from? Has a cat ever attacked you? You know, or I'll talk to people, have you ever been attacked by a dog? No, but dogs do. Have you ever owned a dog? Oh, no. Then how the hell do you know what a dog will do? See, we pass our fears down because their parents told them, oh, don't ever look a dog in the eye or he's going to react like this. If you see a dog, run, you know. Worst thing you can do, if you see a dog and you run, the dog will chase you. That's
right.
A natural response. And that's really a natural response from any animal. If you see the animal and you run, especially if it's a prey-oriented animal, your running triggers their prey response. A dog is a carnivore. So you run, and he's like, oh, they want me to chase them. You run and scream, oh, they like me chasing them, you know?
Right.
Instead of educating ourselves about things that we're not familiar with, we take the words of those before us who really had less, the same or less, experience with this thing that they're telling us we're supposed to fear. Take your time and find out, figure it out. You have to take your time and learn. I have a natural fear of heights. I've always had a fear of height, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or so I thought. But I'm talking to my aunt, and I'm talking to my cousin, and I'm recalling as a child, you can usually find me on any given day, at any given time of day, up in somebody's tree somewhere. My aunt would say, you used to climb like a little monkey, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they would tell me, you're going to break your neck. You're going to fall and break your neck. I never fell out of a tree. But the fear that they put in you of heights, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. Eventually, it kind of kicks in. So I developed this fear of heights, but my dad taught me how to swim, taught me how to dive, and his goal was for me to dive off the high dive board. Well, I'm not going up there. You know, I have a fear of heights.
Mm-hmm.
But my fear of heights, as far as diving, was overcome by my need to impress my dad. And I know I told you about this before, Denise. I don't think Chris ever heard this, but Chris, knowing my dad as well as probably better than anybody, knew my dad was an absolute character. You never knew what was going to come out of his mouth. That's probably where I get it from. You know, total clown. And he knew I would do anything to make him laugh, to make him smile, you know, just to entertain him. He knew that I was an avid athlete. So when I would do these things, he was not only impressed, he was proud of me. So we used to watch this show every weekend called The Wild World of Sports. And at the very beginning of the show, they would have these Acapulco cliff divers. And my dad would tell me every single weekend about his experiences as a cliff diver in Acapulco. And we would critique different divers, you know, what he did wrong. He arched his back at the wrong time. His feet weren't together. They weren't pointed correctly. You know, that was a perfect dive. That was a flawed dive. Now, when I was diving in Acapulco, you know, everything's up. Now, when I was diving in Acapulco, and he would tell me how he had to time the waves, because if you went at the wrong time and the waves weren't all the way in, you'll get caught up on the rocks below. I believed this shit all my life, right?
Right.
So one day, we're at home, we're getting ready to watch Wild World of Sports. My uncle, my dad's brother, stops by the house. So I asked him, I said, Uncle Nate, did you dive off the cliffs in Acapulco too? Well, when I said that, my dad burst out laughing. And my uncle said, dive off of what? I said, like that. Pop used to dive off the cliffs in Acapulco. Did you do that too? He said, dive off the... That N-word ain't never been on a cliff, never been to Mexico in his life. What the hell are you talking about? My dad laughed so hard. Tears were coming out of his eyes. And he's like, I can't believe you still believe that. Well, let's talk about the fact that you just reminded me of that last week. You know.
That's too funny. Yeah, you told me that. That's funny.
Girl, my dad was a character. My dad was an absolute character, but he and my son had such a bond between each other, and it's like me and Cameron are that way now. But everything when he was with his grandfather was, don't tell your mom about this. Don't tell your
right.
mother about this. You know. And then later, little things would slip. Chris would say something. And I'm like, what? You know, well, you know you weren't supposed to tell your mother about that. That's our stuff. And I was like, oh, my God. But anyway, we are coming towards the end of our show this week. I want to thank you guys. I mean, we've had some really, really good dialogue, very good information, very good food for thought. I just want to say, if you see something that runs you the wrong way, the only way to make change happen is to ask for it. You have to speak up. You have to be vocal.
Mm-hmm.
You can impact change. You can be the catalyst for things to change. There's no such thing as that's the way it is, there's nothing we can do about it now. That's not true. We can make a change, but we have to first see the change that we want to see.
Yeah.
Another thing that I want to talk about today, there's a very disturbing video that's all over social media about a girl, teenage girl in South Carolina in the classroom, and you see the video of the school officer come in and just slinging her all around like a rag doll. That video really upset me. It hurt me. It frustrated me. And there were so many things about that video that were wrong. His actions were horrific. His treatment of her could have caused permanent serious injury, and he had absolutely no regard whatsoever. So But I think the thing that stuck out for me even more so than what he was doing were the looks on the faces of the other students while this were happening. They were so afraid that they wouldn't even make eye contact with this man.
Wow.
And that is clear indication that this is not the first time that they have seen this. This is not the first time that they have witnessed anything like it, which is an incredibly scary thought. Like, what the hell is going on in this school? You find out that the officer has been sued a number of times for his brutality, yet he's still there amongst these children.
Right.
But the thing that puzzled and upset me the most is the fact that the teacher stood there and did nothing.
Well, we haven't seen the video. I'll have to look at it.
How can an adult man stand there and let this happen and do absolutely nothing? If he felt that he was not physically capable of stopping this, he was very capable of placing a phone call, whether it was to 911, whether it was to another teacher, whether it was to the administrators within the school. He had every opportunity to get help for this child. When you see things happening, and this is disturbing about the generation that we live in, the society that we're in now. You see things happening. People will videotape it, but they won't help. They won't step in. People do not want to get involved.
Involved, yes.
What if it were you? What if this were your child? What if this were your brother, your sister, your cousin? What if? Like I said, we have to be the change that we want to see happen. Whether it's my child, whether it's a neighbor's child, whether it's a child I have never met before in my life, I'm saying something. I'm getting involved.
Right.
That's always been a part of my makeup. That's always been a part of my character. I'm getting involved. Been there. I've seen women being abused by men, and I have put myself physically between them. And he was like, you're going to get hurt. Okay, but she's getting hurt. So is her life less important than my own? Is her safety less important than my own? But remember, we're talking about a child.
Right.
You know, this is a child. This is someone's daughter. So the flip side of that is a lot of people were saying the reason that the officer was called into the classroom is because this child was verbally disrespecting the teacher. I am not going to condone her actions. I don't know what she said or what she did, but I will say we have raised and we have released upon society a whole generation of incredibly disrespectful children. And I will be one to say what my father, what my uncles, what my grandparents had always taught me. If you do not keep your children in line and get them in line at home, if you do not teach them respect at home, respect of other people,
respect of other people's property, the world will have no problem in teaching them the lessons that you refuse to. And the love, whether it's verbal, whether it's tough love, whether it's discipline that you give at home, is given out of the love and concern for their well-being. But the discipline that they get out in the world from strangers will not have love anywhere in it. If you don't want your children to be another statistic, if you don't want your children to be the subject of another police brutality video, if you don't want your child to be another body in the morgue, you need to start teaching them respect. I listen to children talking, and I'm talking kids of all ages from 6 on up to 20. I listen to children talking to their parents. They're saying an F you to their parents. They're calling their mother the B word. I'm like, what? If I looked at my mother crossways, she would have knocked my head off. My grandmother was 4'11". None of her grandsons were under 6 feet. And you best believe nobody spoke back to her. Mm. If she asked a question, you responded with a yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am. Disrespect did not happen. You didn't disrespect her. You didn't even disrespect the neighbors. None of that. But these kids today are out of control, and you talk about they are expressing themselves. Well, guess what? When that police officer beats the hell out of them, he is expressing himself. So if you want your child to be safe, to be respected, to be treated well, that starts at home. Teach them respect. Raise them up the right way and you won't have to worry about them. But this that we have out here, this stuff that you all have released on society, and then you wonder why society is treating them like thugs. That's what you put out there. That's what you release on the world.
Right.
You better reel it in.
Something is too cute.
Unless you want them to be the next statistic. And you're right, Denise. How many times do we see, and I'm really getting angry and fed up about this, when I'm seeing pictures after pictures after pictures on social media where you have babies, you have toddlers dressed up like grown women, you're putting makeup on babies. I'm like, oh, ain't she cute? Hell no, that ain't cute. There ain't nothing cute about it. When your toddler tells you, you know, to shut up. A week ago, I'm talking to my daughter, and my 3-year-old grandson told her, you stop talking. I don't want to hear you talk. And I was like, pop that behind. Nip that in the bud right now. Because if you allow it at 3, you're not going to be able to control it at 16.
Right.
You start now. You have to show them, teach them right from wrong right now. And watch your words and your actions. I'm one way when my grandchildren are around. I'm a totally another way when they're not, because I don't need my grandchildren seeing me or hearing me act a damn fool, because then they're going to think that it's okay for them to to act that way in public. So if I don't ever want to see them do it, I cannot do it in their presence.
Correct.
So parents, we need to be well aware of what it is that you're doing and saying, because even though you may not see them, you think they're upstairs in their room playing TV or whatever, they're watching and they're listening to everything that you do. When you are rude, when you're in a restaurant and you're rude to that hostess, that's how they think they are supposed to act. When you're in the store and you bump into somebody and you don't say, excuse me, they think that's how they are supposed to act. If you don't want the animals of society treating your child like a criminal, then you have to teach them life lessons at home. Teach them how to be respectable. Teach them how to stand up. That doesn't mean that they're never going to face adversity. But you have to teach them how to and how not to respond to it when it occurs.
Yeah, but you have to also teach them about the music that they're listening to and the shows. Again, as you know, we're talking about the actors and actresses in Hollywood. You also have to say, okay, you know this is not real, and you have to explain to them this is for sheer entertainment. You know, there are some things that they do that they really do, and they have it on what, Access Hollywood, what's another show, I forget. And they highlight that stuff, and I said, they're putting all that in your face, like, this is how you're supposed to live, or when you get up here at this level, this is how life is going to be. No, life does not have to be that. You can stay out of the limelight. So you have to kind of still continue to teach about. Because, you know, my daughter, who's 21, you know, when she was small, I was like, you listen, what is that you're listening to? You know, because I would listen to the music. And I said, the beat is what gets you. I said, but you know what? We ain't paying attention to the words. What are they saying? I said, that's what they're saying. I said, you know, you got to be careful with that. I'm like, okay, you know we're not doing that. You're not doing that. You're not doing that. And I understand. Mm-hmm. And I get the beat is what gets it, which pulls them in. But they don't fail to realize is that beat that's pulling them in, the words are feeding their subconscious brain. Like, oh, it's okay to call you a this or that and do this and do that. You know, so, and it's like, no, it's not. I said, but again, like, we still have to teach. We have to continue to teach.
We have to continue to teach. We have to stay on guard. We have to be examples. We have to be living examples. You cannot sit here and tell your daughter, your teenage daughter, that no, it's not cool to go out here in Daisy Dukes and 6-inch heels with your midriff showing. No, you cannot get all these piercings and stuff. That's not ladylike. When all she got to do is turn around and look at you, and you looking like, what? Okay? You can't do it. Be the example. Raise your children to be better than you were, so that they can raise their children to be better than they were. We have to be a people of growth. If you're not growing, you're going to stagnate and die. Just like a shark in the water has to continuously move in order to survive. When the shark swims through the water, as he's swimming, oxygen and so forth goes through his gills. That's how he breathes. But if a shark were to stop swimming, he would drown. You're not continually growing. learning, evolving, you die, right? And
right.
That doesn't mean that you necessarily will physically die, but you're dying a little bit every single day. Your brain cells are dying. You're not exercising. Your organs, your body, your muscles are dying. So you have to work on that every single day. Learn something new every day. Read a passage from a book every day. Pick up a book that you've never read before, from an author you've never heard of. Do something to improve yourself every single day. Go for a walk, go for a run, go to the gym, practice yoga, take time to meditate. And the little things that you do, your children see that, and they start doing things. And you're not only enriching your life, you're enriching their life as well. Come
right.
After you, they'll have no motivation to be any better than you are. We're better than this. We are so much better than this. Don't accept everything that is put in front of you. Don't accept everything that you hear. Do the research. Find out what's going on and learn for yourself.
Right.
I want to thank everybody for an awesome show. You know, the show is titled, Let's Talk About It. That's what we do. We may go in with one topic, but we talk about whatever is going on and whatever is on your mind. I welcome everybody to join us every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. If you have any thoughts, if you have any show ideas, you have something you want to talk about, or if you want to make a comment on what you heard on today's show, drop us a line on Facebook on It's My Life, Now What? That's also where you can follow up on a lot of the topics that we're currently exploring and the things that we're talking about. I would definitely love to hear from you. My name is Carol Ann Thornton. I am your host. You can reach me on Facebook as well. Or you can send me an email to CoachCAThornton@gmail.com. Our next week's show, I am very excited about. Next week, we're going to talk about the American dream. We're going to have a couple of real estate experts and financial experts online have some really great information. I welcome Antonio McMillian and Jamal Bibbins. These guys are incredible. So if you're in the market for a new home or you just want to find out how to get ready to get in the market, tune in. We're going to have some great dialogue about that. We're going to talk about the differences between renting and owning. Information. I really love to have you guys join in to the conversation. Each week, if you're unable to join us while we're on the air live, each week you can go to my Facebook page and just click on the link. The calls are recorded. And happy listening. Again, this has been Let's Talk About It. You guys have a great week. I will talk to you next Tuesday. And everybody, let's be safe out there. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.